Take your Bibles, if you would, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We'll read some scripture verses and we'll have Champ and Dixie Dog and Champ come in here. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 20. Appreciate the opportunity to get to be here at Pacific Baptist Church. Boy, this is a miracle church. A miracle church. I remember Brother Esposito and Johnny and Brother Steve and on. We were all at Bible college together in the bus ministry, serving the Lord together. Who would ever thought that we would be where we are? Who would ever think that we'd be doing what we're doing? But God knew, and the Lord put it together, and to see what he's done here and to see the church building there, that's getting closer and closer to completion, and we're praying with you on that endeavor, and we're looking forward to seeing the day whenever y'all going to be able to have services in there. That'll be a big answer to prayer. Appreciate your faithfulness, and I appreciate Pastor Myers and his faithfulness and friendship through the years and just sticking by the stuff, and you all have a good testimony of just standing true, unwavering, still got the triple S, standard separation, soul winning, loving the word of God, and that's a blessing, and that's an encouragement, and we thank the Lord for that and for churches like this, and so we thank you for your kind encouraging words, your hospitality, and we always feel at home whenever that we come here, and thank the Lord for your ministry here, that's for sure. Let's stand together, shall we? We'll read some scripture verses. 2 Timothy chapter 2. In verse number 20, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 20, the Bible says, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. I hope if the Lord walks over to his cabinet of vessels and looks inside and decides which one does he want to choose for this particular job, that he'd say, oh yeah, this will work perfect. I got just the plan. I got just the place. I got a specific job I want this vessel to do. Bible says there's vessels for honor and dishonor. You decide whether if you're going to be usable or not. And God can't use a dirty vessel. I don't think anyone this morning went over to the sink and pulled out dirty dishes to set them on the table to eat breakfast. I don't think anybody this morning went over to the dirty laundry and hamper and started pulling out clothes and say, well, what am I going to wear today to church? No, you went to the clean clothes. God likes using vessels that are clean. Amen. With the help of Dixie Dog this morning and Champ, I'd like to preach a message entitled Your Price Tag. How valuable are you? You determine. Oh, you don't have to be the smartest to have a high price tag. You don't have to be the best athlete to have a high value. You don't have to have a lot of money in the bank and be what this world would deem as a successful person to have a high value. There's one major characteristic that determines your value. We're going to talk about it today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for loving us, dying for us. And thank you that we can be a vessel that you could use. And to think that you'd want to use us, Lord, oh, I pray that you'd help us to be usable. And you'd speak to hearts and challenge lives. And we'll pray for your will to be done. And we'll thank you for it. We ask these things in your precious name. Amen. You all can be seated. Now, Champ and Dixie Dog are going to come in here right now. Let's go ahead and bring them in, if you would. I think Buckaroo might even be riding today. And Champ is an American miniature horse. And Dixie Dog, okay, Cowboy, go ahead and take her across the front and bring him back. Dixie's been riding on Champ since she was just about 6 weeks old. We call her Dixie because she's a Southern girl. She's from Florida, and she's a Pomeranian Papillon pup. And this is what you'll see quite often on Saturdays whenever we go out visiting on the bus routes and everything. Little Dixie, let me take her from you there, Cowboy. And we'll go ahead and you don't have to bring Champ up here. You can go ahead and take him off to the side there. And we're going to get him ready. They're going to come up here in just a minute and perform for you. But this little Dixie, in fact, it might be helpful if we move this projector here, if somebody can just pull this thing out of the way, because it's going to block view for people to be able to see her front and center, if you don't mind. Thank you, brother. Appreciate that. Dixie Dog's a special little girl, and she likes riding on Champ. Everybody says, how'd you teach that dog to ride the horse? Well, it was easy because she just loves to ride. She'll ride on motorcycles, four-wheelers, jet skis, anything. She'll get on it, and we have a good time together, that's for sure. And who would ever think that a cowboy would have a little fluff ball for a puppy dog? Everybody was teasing me about having a dog and pony show. And when you're traveling around with a miniature horse, you know, people give you a hard time, tease, you know, in fun. And I was headed to Florida. I'd been praying about getting a little dog. I said, that's just what I'll do. I'll get a little dog. I'm going to teach it to ride the horse, get it to do several behaviors and tricks. And boy, a lot of life's lessons can be learned. And so I was looking and praying. I'm thinking I'm going to get me a cowboy dog. I'll get a border collie with the smartest of all the breeds, or maybe I'll get a heeler or something. And so I was headed to Florida. My buddy called me up. He said, Kevin, he said, you coming to Florida? I said, I'm on my way. I'll be there in 2 or 3 days, coming to your place first. He said, good. He said, I got something for you. I said, what do you got? He said, I got a dog that'll ride your horse. And I'm thinking, what? How did you know? I didn't tell him. I didn't advertise it. I said, how did you know I was looking for a dog? He said, I didn't. He said, this little dog just showed up in our neighborhood, stray dog, run away, drop off. We don't know. We can't find out who she belongs to, but she's the smartest little thing, and he raises golden retrievers and trains them for a living. And so he said, this is a smart dog. He said, she'll ride your horse. I said, all right. I said, what kind is she? He said, well, she's like a Papillon. And I'm like, I didn't know what that was. And so I show up, and I said, let me see that dog. And he pulls out this chick magnet. This is what boys use to get girls to pay attention to them, okay? This is what, I know some of you young men, some of you teenagers sitting out here need one of these, okay? And that's how that Nick got his wife. He got him a little fluffy pip, you know, dog, and that's how he got girls to pay attention to him. But anyway, I'm thinking, are you serious? He said, yeah, she's really smart. We took her, we put her on that horse, on Champ, walked her around the yard, and she realized this is what we wanted. And so she just sat up there and just rode around like she was the Queen of Sheba. And I said, okay. I said, man, I said, let me give her a try, and the rest is history. And we've been having a good time with her, that's for sure. Now shake it off. There you go. That's good. You got to learn to shake things off, okay? When things don't go your way, you shake it off. Whenever the car breaks down, and you shake it off. Whenever you get a flat tire, you shake it off. Whenever that the bus breaks down and things are late and everything that could go wrong does go wrong, when you're trying to get to church on time, you just shake it off and you keep going. Amen? That's for sure. Now, Dixie Dog, we need to learn to obey. And by the way, I hope you teach your kids to look at you in the face whenever and they look at adults whenever that they're talking and communicating. And whenever that you speak. Oh, good girl. That's right. You teach them to talk to people. And whenever they reach out their hand to shake. Oh, that's a good girl. We need to learn to be friendly and need to learn to obey. Lay down. No, lay down. Roll over. Good girl. Stand up. And give me a little dance. Good job. All right, give her a hand right there. Good girl. Yeah. Now, wait. Spin. Oh, good girl. Get in your kennel. All right, good. Now I want you to stay right there. I want you to sit down. I want you to be still. We got to teach our kids how to behave in church. Amen? And to sit there and to be good, listen to the preacher. It's not time to be going in and out. going to the bathroom 10 times during the service. It's not time to get out the coloring books. It's not time to lay on the floor and play with cars and animals. It's time to sit up and listen to the preacher preach. Whenever I was a youngin', I sat through many a church before junior church was even thought of, okay? And I know you're thinking, he's a dinosaur, man. This guy is old, man. They didn't have junior church. No, they didn't have junior church when I was a kid. And I survived, amen? I lived through it. Now, we're going to get Dixie to climb the ladder over here. She's going to go down the slide. She's going to jump through the hoop and over the stick. All right, you think she can do it? Here we go. Let's do it. Come on. Here we go. Come on over here. All right, good. Climb up. Climb up. Good girl. Oh, someone, come on, girl. Climb up. Feet are slipping. All right, down the slide. Good. Through the hoop. Back through. Back through. Good. Over the stick. All right. Back over. Good. Give her a hand. All right. That's a good girl. All right. Now stop. Come back over here. Right here. All right. Sit down. Stay right there. All right. Let's see if you can catch this frisbee. You ready? Catch. Well, you got ahead of it a little bit. Come back over here. Come back over here. Sit down there. Stay. All right. Ready? Catch it. Oh, came out of her mouth. Well, that's a good try. Oh, sounds like you're getting a cold. My goodness, are you getting a cold? You getting a cold? Oh, bless you. Oh, bless you. Oh, bless you. My goodness, she's got a cold. You need to take your medicine, okay? And I want you to sit, I want you to get in your bed, and I want you to lay down, get in that bed, and I want you to lay down there and be still, okay? Lay down in that bed. You're supposed to lay down and be still. Lay down. How long does it take for you to get your kids to go to bed? I hope it's not a 30-minute routine where they got to get a drink of water, got to go potty, monsters under the bed, booger man in the closet. No, 30 minutes later, they go to bed. No, see, they're programmable. This dog and my horse have been programmed. Oh, I tell you what, you're just a bunch of legalists, a bunch of fanatics. Yeah, you're just brainwashing people. Well, now, if you want to go there, do you really want to go there? It sounds like some left-wing liberals. You just want to, whenever you start talking like that. Listen, you're programmable. You know, you all have been programmed. I have been programmed. Reason why you act the way you act and the words you say, okay? And to me, you talk funny. And to you, I talk funny. And I know it's because I've been programmed by some hillbillies and some cowboys. And, you know, it's like we all have been programmed. This dog's been programmed. And the best way to keep criminals off the street is to quit raising them. And so you teach them to obey. You teach them respect. You teach them that when the national anthem is played, you're not even thinking about bowing the knee. Oh, no. You teach them patriotism. You teach them that when they see an officer in uniform, that they go up to him and shake their hand and say, thank you for serving our country. Yeah. Now, that doesn't happen by accident. Right. Huh? Oh, they've been taught that. When you see a young man, he shakes somebody's hand with a firm grip, looks at him in the eyes, respectful, yes, ma'am, yes, sir, thank you, and please. They've been programmed. That's been put into them. And God help us to raise up our kids to where they will obey. Now, she's got a high value because she has an intense desire to please. How many of you ever tried to teach your dog to do some tricks and it didn't go so good? Okay, it's like, this is not working. It's like they don't care. They ain't listening. Okay, there's a difference. The reason why she's so special is because she wants to please me. She wants to make me happy, and that'll make your price tag go through the roof. Oh, yeah, that's for sure. I guarantee you. Now, we would go to bed early on Saturday because Sunday was part of our programming. We'd go to church. Now, and Mom would fix a big breakfast. Oh, she'd fix scrambled eggs and gravy and biscuits, and she'd put on quite a spread. And when Mama yelled for us to come, we didn't just show up as we will. We obeyed right away. When it was time to eat and she called, we all came, we all sat down, and we just didn't pick and choose like we was at a cafeteria, going and coming and doing as you please. No, no, no. We'd all hold hands together, we'd pray, we'd thank God for the food, and then we'd eat the food. We'd get up early on Sunday because we went to bed early on Saturday to get up early so we could come to church. We never voted on it. My daddy never said, is anybody sick? Is there anybody that would like to? No. It's like sun rises in the east, sets in the west, 2 + 2 = 4, and we're going to church. And we did. And thank the Lord for it. And so it's time to eat. Come and get it. But we didn't eat like animals. We prayed, dear Lord, thank you for the food. Amen. We didn't pray at supper time. Dear Lord, thank you for supper. Amen. We didn't pray at dinner time. Dear Lord, thank you for dinner. Amen. We didn't pray before we go to bed at night. Now lay me down to sleep. Hope the Lord my soul to keep. Amen. We didn't pray publicly when we would go to McDonald's and that stuff they call food. We would pray, you got to pray over that food. Dear Lord, thank you for this stuff. Make it food. Amen. All right. Well, you got to pray over that. And we weren't ashamed of the Lord. Oh, no. I hope you're not ashamed of Jesus. I hope that it's evident. Yes, sir. Oh, yeah. That they must be a Christian. You got those marks on you. Amen. Oh, I tell you what. God wants us to walk with him. I hope you have a walk with him. Oops, I'm sorry, Dixie. All right. Let's walk. Walk, walk, walk the Bible way. Come on, read the Bible daily and don't forget to pray. Walk, walk, walk the Bible way. Read the Bible every day. I hope you have a walk with the Lord. Amen. Good job. All right, give her a hand. But the devil's a thief and he wants to rob. Reach for the skies. Reach, reach. Oh, yeah, he wants to rob you of the joys of serving Jesus. To rob you of your happiness. Reach for the skies. And he wants to put you to death. Bang, bang, bang. Bang, 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 bang. Supposed to die all the way. Bang. She didn't like to die. Now, for the Christian, it's not the end. It's just the beginning of eternal life. Because someday the Lord will call us home. Be healed. Come up hither. Come here. Sometime today. All right, good. There we go. Hey. I tell you what, the Lord will call us home someday. I hope that you're ready. I hope that you're eagerly watching. Now, sometimes she gets ahead of me and she'll do tricks without me telling her because she knows what I want. Oh, that's a great way to be valuable. Pastor, isn't it great to have staff that will do what you want and you don't even have to tell them? Man, they just run with it. And they see what need. God give us some young people that... You don't have to be told to make your bed. You don't have to be told to wash the dishes. You don't have to be told to pick up after yourself. You just, oh, that'll increase your value right there. Amen. You determine it. That desire to please. Who are you trying to please? Let's bring Champ in here right now. We're going to switch out and let Champ have his turn up here. All right. Now, Champ is 17 years of age. He's been traveling with me now for... Oh, let's see, it's been 7 years, going on 8 now. He's got some brand new tennis shoes that Barbie painted up for him. And how many of you have ever seen a horse wearing tennis shoes? All right, right now, right here in church. So Champ, can you wave howdy to everybody? Wave howdy to him. Good boy, that's a good job. Yes, we call him the smiling trick horse because he likes to smile. And if you got a smile on your face, I hope if you got Jesus in your heart, you'll have a smile on your face. Because that's what will make the difference. Now, we're trying to take some people with us to heaven. That's for sure. Yes, you're waving howdy to everybody. That's a good boy. Good job. Now, we've got this teeter board up here. We're going to use it like a scale. If you know much about horses, they don't like anything that teeters and rocks and moves under their feet. They get a little bit nervous. Champs learn to trust me. Let's step up here. We're going to use it like a scale. Some people think if my good outweighs my bad, I'm going to heaven. Okay, some days you're being good. Give me some good. Step up just a little bit more. I got to get you in the center. All right, there we go. All right. All right, good. Some days you're being good. Some days you're being bad. Some days you're doing right. Some days you're doing wrong. Some days you're obeying. Some days you're disobeying. Some days you're respectful. Some days you're respectful. That's not enough. Give me some more. Some days you're not. Some days you go to church. Go to church. Some days you sleep in. And they think if my good outweighs my bad, I'm going to heaven. But the Bible says, for by grace you save through faith and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, Not of works, lest any man should boast. So I'm not going to heaven because my good outweighs my bad. Otherwise, I could pat myself on the back and say, I'm a pretty good fella. I'm going to heaven. We want these folks to go to heaven whenever we die. That's for sure. Yes, amen. That's right. That's a good boy. All right, are you done? Okay, good. Let's step down here off of this. And I want you to show these cowboys and cowgirls how you can be on your best behavior. I want you to be still. Don't want you to be making any faces. Don't want you to be carrying on up here, because I'm going to ask you life's most important question. And that is this. If you died today, do you know for sure, 100%, without a doubt, that you'd go to heaven? That's life's most important question. That's a question we need to know the answer to. That's a question that we ought to be prepared. Champ, give me that. Champ, this is mine. Leave it alone. This ain't a chew toy. Every cowboy's got his bandana. It's a necessary tool. It's got 101 uses. You can use it as a towel, as a napkin. You can use it as a mask to put over your face to keep the dust and dirt out when you're riding drag on the herd. Why, you can use it as a flag to wave somebody down. It can be used as a water filter, as a bandage. It can be used as a blindfold for an ornery horse. It can be used as a do-rag like Pastor Myers wears around the house. Anyway, it's got 101 uses. Leave my bandana alone. It's not for you to be messing with, okay? You're going to be messing with it anymore? You better not. All right, now, because of sin. Sin is anything that we think. Would you knock it off? Now listen, give me that back. Champ, this is not funny. Now you quit messing around with my bandana. It's not funny. You're being disobedient. You're being an example of sin. You know what sin is? Huh? Sin is when anything we think, say, or do that breaks the heart of God. The Bible says, for all have sinned. Now, because of sin, someday we're going to die. The Bible says the wages of sin. All right. Now you're going to have to play dead. Now give me this back. Yuck. You got slobber on my bandana. Now I'm going to have to wash it. All right. Here we go. You're going to play dead. Step up here. All right. Let's go down. All the way. All the way down. You got to die. Someday, Champ will die. Of old age, no doubt. You and I will die because of sin. Now, we don't put smiles on dead horses, okay? We don't put them in the coffin with smiles on their faces, okay? We don't do that. Yeah, Champ, here, take this treat. All right, now be still. Now, he'll live to be about 35 years of age. So we got a good year, many years of service together, good Lord willing. Someday he's gonna die. Someday you and I will die because of sin. That's why Jesus laid down his life. Jesus Christ, the perfect, sinless Son of God, died for you, died for me. Why? Because we're sinners headed for hell. But he didn't stay dead. On that third day, something happened. On that third day, death couldn't keep him. On that third day, the devil couldn't hold him. On that third day, up from the grave, he arose. He ascended up into heaven. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, preparing a place for us. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. That place is called heaven, where there's no sickness, there's no pain, there's no heartache. It's a perfect place of happiness, peace, and joy, where we all want to go someday. It's a place of eternal life. Now, how do we get that gift of God? Eternal life in heaven. Well, Champ, let's stretch out here a little bit. Show them how you can pray. If a sinner would put their faith and trust in Jesus, if a sinner would pray the sinner's prayer, calling out to the Lord for salvation, if he'd say, Lord, I know I've done things that's wrong. I want you to forgive me of my sins. I want you to save me. I believe you died, buried, and rose again. Come into my heart. Take me to heaven when I die. Amen. Oh, when a sinner prays the sinner's prayer, oh, all of heaven rejoices. Hey, their name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life up in heaven. And their sins have been forgiven. Oh, it's shouting time in heaven when somebody gets saved. I want to have Champ rear up on his hind feet in victory, symbolizing somebody getting saved, symbolizing that name being entered into the Book of Life. Whenever he does, I want you to represent heaven. The Bible says, in the midst of the angels, there's rejoicing over sinners that repent. And so whenever those names are called out, when people get saved, all of heaven, they're having a party time, that's for sure. And so I want you to hoot and holler, yell and scream, make these chandeliers shake when he rears up on his feet because somebody's getting saved. Are you ready? Hup. A new name is written down in glory. Yeah, there you go. Good job. All right. Praise the Lord. Yeah, I tell you what. And after you get saved, God's got plans for you. You're not an accident. You're not a mistake. He's got a job that he wants you to do. Oh, man, Champ White's getting up here because it makes him feel big. Makes him feel special. Yeah, Champ, he used to be a hay burner. He used to be a good-for-nothing horse. We found him. We cleaned him up. I mean, his hooves was long. His teeth was dirty. He was a mess. You couldn't catch him, couldn't work him, couldn't ride him. A hay burner. Useless. Good-for-nothing. But because he submitted his will to my will, because he yielded, because he obeyed, oh, now he's a famous trick horse, traveling all across the country, helping me preach the gospel. Boys and girls, teenagers and adults are getting saved because of his presentation. And guess what? He's living the dream. He'd never go back to them old hay-burning days doing as he pleased out in the pasture. Why, right now, he's traveling around in a padded stall with fans in the summer and heat in the winter. Boys and girls bring him carrots and apples. They like getting their pictures taken with him because he's a celebrity. He's preached the lower 48 from coast to coast hundreds of times in all kinds of situations. And he's living the dream. Yeah, that's for sure. Oh, I tell you what, and he's on his way to heaven. People wonder if he's going to be in heaven. Yeah, he gets saved every week. He's going to be in heaven. There's horses in heaven, and he'll be solid white. Yeah, that's right. We're coming back on white horses. A midget will probably be riding him. But anyway, hey, you know what? Make your life count. Don't be a hay burner. Don't be a good-for-nothing Christian. Don't be a good-for-nothing person. Make your life count for the cause of Christ. Hey. This next behavior is a little ridiculous. Champ thinks it's funny. I want you to humor him and laugh at him because he's doing it regardless. We call this bottoms up. Because his bottom is up. Give him a hand right there. All right. And someday, whenever we get to heaven, the Bible says every knee shall bow and tongue confess that Jesus is the Lord. What a day that'll be when my Jesus I shall see. And if you've enjoyed Champ the Smiling Trick Horse, give him a round of applause. Now, he gets these apple nuggets as a reward for doing right. It pays to serve Jesus. Oh, yeah. It pays to make your life count for the cause of Christ. That's for sure. All right. I'm going to let him slip off the platform right now. Give him a round of applause as he leaves there. Good job, Champ. I'd like to close here with this thought about your price tag. Champ and Dixie have a high price tag. In fact, Dixie's was so valuable, somebody stole her from me down this past March in Phoenix, Arizona. We were down there in the winter. That's where smart evangelists go, is south in the winter. And we go to the deep south, and we can still have days like this there. And somebody did steal her. And through a series of events, 2 weeks later, we found her with the help of the police. We were on Fox News and ABC and Channel 3 and Channel 5. And it's amazing over this little lost, famous trick dog that rides a horse. And but the Lord worked, and we found her. I tell you what, it was quite devastating to us because she's more than just a dog. She's a pet, a family member. She's part of the team, and she really helps us reach people. When people see that little dog riding on that horse coming into a neighborhood, barriers drop. Just a couple weeks ago, we were out there, and the bus worker says, "I can't believe it. The lady that said, she said she'll never come to our church, and she was rude to us, and she came today. She's here." He said, "Whenever you came by the house with the horse and the dog, all of the barriers dropped. She was going to shut the door, and the next thing I know, she's coming outside with her phone wanting to take pictures with her children. And she ends up coming to church. And she ends up getting saved." Amen. Oh, yeah. Hey, it breaks down barriers. She would have never come. And unbelievable. So they're just tools. tools to reach people. And if God can use a little bitty dog and a little worthless hay burner horse, God can use you.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. God's got a plan for you. You boys and girls, young people here, God's got a job that he wants you to do. And you might not think you're very valuable because, well, I'm not real smart. I'm not on the A honor roll. I'm not the MVP player of the sports team. That's not what makes you most valuable. You know what makes you most valuable? The Bible says over in Matthew chapter 3, verse 16, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Heavenly Father looked down from heaven and said, that's my boy. Oh, put a smile on God's face. I hope you have a desire to put a smile on the face of God. I hope that you want to bring happiness, because a parent or children determine the happiness of their parents. Bible says in Proverbs in chapter 10 and verse number 1, a wise son maketh a glad father. You got the power to determine the happiness or the unhappiness of your parents. You got the power to determine the joy or the sadness of your grandparents. That desire to please will determine your value. When somebody wants to please the right person, the right way, for the right reason, shoo, your price tag goes through the roof. Because that's something that anybody can do. Anybody can try to please God. Anybody. He says there's vessels, small and great. God help us to have that desire to please. And to do right, the Bible says in John 8:29, for I do always those things that please him. There's qualities that drive your price tag up, and there's qualities that drive your price tag down. Why? Those that submit, those that yield, those that comply, or you got those that are self-willed, resistant, defiant, their price tag is down. Then you have those that are teachable. They're humble. They've got a sweet spirit. But then there's those that know it all, full of pride, grumpy gripers. Their price tag is low. You can determine whether if it's up, whether if it's down. All those are some that are obedient and some are disobedient. Some tell the truth, others are liars. Some of them, they are honest, others are dishonest. Your price can be up or it can be down. It's determined by you and your desire to please. Some are trustworthy, others are deceitful. Some are hard workers, some are lazy. Some are nurture their kids, and others yell and scream all the time around the house. How about you? You determine how valuable you are. You determine your price tag, if you would. There's some that are thankful, some that complain. There's some that are like a medicine, others like a poison. Some have a good attitude, others are hard to get along with. There's some that are responsible, others are like a broken tooth. There's some that are neat and clean, and others are dirty. What man wants to bring his friends from work home to an explosion in an underwear factory with a couch of potatoes sitting on the couch watching TV and is still in her robe? Learn to clean the house. You fellas need to learn to work and get up off your blessed assurance instead of being a stay-home mama. You kids need, I'm telling you, your value, okay, is determined by you. What can you do to increase your value? What can you do to be an MVP player for the team? You don't have to be the smartest. You don't have to be the most gifted. All you got to do is have a heart to serve. You want to be a blessing. You want to please God. That'll make the difference. Nothing will hurt the heart of a parent any more than to have a child disappoint them. Barb, whom I affectionately call Barbie doll, that plays the guitar up here, you know, she's only been playing that just for a few weeks because Joe has been had to stay back at the ranch because his wife has had a high-risk pregnancy. And so we were missing Jeannie on her banjo and Joe on her mandolin. And she said, somebody just gave her a guitar. And she said, I think I'm going to learn to play it. Because she wanted to make her dad happy. She wanted to make her Heavenly Father happy. Whenever she first started traveling with us, she hadn't sung before. She just sang on the buses and sang in congregations. But she just jumped right up and just started singing and gave it what she had. And she was an artist, and she could draw. And I said, boy, there's things that she can do. And I said, hey, we saw a lady doing some face painting at one of the carnivals at one of the churches. And I said, Barb, you're an artist. I bet you could do that. She said, well, I ain't never done it before, but I'll try. And guess what? She's like a professional face painter. She can turn people's faces into tigers and lions and pirates. And oh, the kids love it. Man, she painted my face this morning. Man, don't I look good? Hey. But she says, what does she do that for? She's just like, I want to be a part. I want to do what I can. And I said, Barb, I saw somebody doing some chalk art the other day. It has a hidden picture in it. You're so good. I bet you could learn to do that. Guess what? Now she's been doing it for years. She's been doing chalk art, and it's got the hidden picture, and you turn on a black light, and this gospel message presentation, boom, just comes out of it. It is phenomenal. Oh, man. What? She's just a little blonde girl from Miami, Florida, that wasn't singing, wasn't playing instruments, wasn't face painting, wasn't doing chalk art, and now serving the Lord, traveling around with us. Oh, wow. You know why? She wants to please her Heavenly Father. You know why? She wants to please her husband. She wants to please her daddy. Oh, I tell you what, that makes people valuable when they want to please. Why do you do what you do? Who are you trying to please? I hope it's not just a boyfriend or a girlfriend. I hope you're wanting to please your God. Little Joe got saved. I know it's hard to believe, but he is. He's saved. Little Joe, my mandolin picker over here. And he got saved, and he was 5 years old. After he got saved, first step of obedience is baptism. And so we talked to him about baptism and what baptism was. Baptism is a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. It's a picture of the gospel. It's the first step of obedience after salvation is baptism. And so we taught him about baptism, and he said, Daddy, I want to get baptized. So I baptized him a couple days after he got saved. And whenever we baptized him there in that church service, and then we went out to the RV after the service was over, and oh, I plopped down on the couch. It had been a long, busy day, and Joe comes busting in the door, and he comes running across the living room, and he jumps on top of me. Oh, lands on top of me when I was laying there, and he hugged my neck, and he squeezed it tight. He says, Daddy, he says, I'm so glad I got baptized. He was so thrilled. Why was he happy? Because he obeyed. Why was he happy? Because he knew he pleased his God. He knew he pleased his daddy. Oh, yeah. That right there will make for a happy person when they obey and they want to please. Who are you trying to please? You holding on to your will? You holding on to your life? You holding on, I'm going to do what I want to do? Or do you stop and say, Lord, it's yours? Happiest people are those that find the will of God and does it. Happiest people are those, they just want to please God. What can you do to raise your price tag? Oh, God, give us some people to say, I want to increase it, Lord. I want to be more valuable. Lord, I want you to know I just want to make you happy, because it'll determine what you do. My wife, when she first got saved, she thought she was doing good wearing some short skirts. She didn't realize it was not right and it was immodest. And then as soon as she started learning and going to church and growing, all of a sudden those skirts got longer, because she wanted to please God. She wasn't trying to get young men to look at her for the wrong reason. So she started dressing modestly and appropriately, and she changed her wardrobe like that. She changed. Hey, why do you do what you do? See, problem is you love the attention that the boys and the men give you. That's why you advertise. I hope that you're not that kind of a person. I hope you love God so much that you say, Lord, do I need to change anything? Do I change what I wear, change the place I go, change my vocabulary, some words I'm saying, some music I'm listening to? See, it'll determine how you live and what you do. Those people that want to please, you can do something with them. Yeah, your price tag. God help us to increase our value and to be used to Him. If you're here today and you don't know for sure you're going to heaven, the greatest thing you can do is accept His free gift of eternal life today. In just a moment, we'll have an invitation to give you an opportunity to take care of that if you're unsure. You might be here today saying, you know what? I want to increase my price tag. What can you do to make it more valuable? What can you do, boys and girls, to become more valuable around the house and in school? What can you do, employees at the workplace, to be so valuable that you would be the last one they would ever think about laying off? It's up to you. Oh, yeah. Help us to raise our price tag and to put a smile on the Lord's face. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, our time is up. I preach my heart to these, your people.